next Metro train approaching your station will be a Metro Express train and will not stop.
Welcome to Voices Cary Live. My name is Randy Scott. We are broadcasting to you live from the beautiful village of Cary. It is currently raining. Let's take a look at the weather. Got some inclement weather coming in, but rain is nice, especially on a metal roof inside a studio, which is the best roof for a studio. What is Voices Cary, you ask? Great question. This is a podcast. It's an independent venture from myself to try to bridge the gap between social media, which we all know is a whole lot of fun, bridge the gap from that to talking with your neighbor, which we can all do more of, I think. Just starting to wave again in passing cars, and this show is marketed to folks in Cary, you at home, but if we have a broad reach, we broadcast live on X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, and the RSS feed for those of you that like to watch without seeing my face for radio, which I don't blame you. If you're watching and you don't live in Cary, fear not. I enjoy doing this. I have a family. You're busy, but you're providing people with a platform. So start it on your phone if you live somewhere that you think can benefit from that. And then, this is your megaphone. This is your microphone. We have the text lines open and phone call lines open. If it's a rainy night, it's kind of like a sleepless in Seattle. Relationship advice, radio talking, call in, or there's no contest or anything. But if you want to talk and say what you like about Cary, what you if you want to vent about something about Cary, or just want to say hi, feel free to. We have some other things. Right before I went on, it was kind of like a mad dash. I have tape here, and this tape is currently holding up this camera angle because I was just like when I was just about to go on, I checked the camera angle and it was like off to the side. So I was literally standing on this like right before I said hello to you. Things go without a hitch here. It's a nice raining day. I was like, what better than to talk about TIF districts, as one does. TIF districts. I'm not going to start with that, but I am going to I have some fun stuff actually at the top here instead of just talking about TIF districts, which is something a municipality uses that to kind of bring life into an area, but it has some downsides as well. It takes money away from schools and parks and other infrastructure. So I thought it deserved a little bit of time. And then if you had any comments, you can chime in on that. And then also the text, the messages are also on. So if you, whatever platform you're watching on, you can chime in as well. So what are we going to look at? I have this news article from the Daily Herald from July 23rd of 23. And it's titled, Will Proposed TIF District Costs Carry Its Small Town Feel? And there's a few good nuggets in there. And then I have a timetable of all the TIF districts in the Village of Cary starting from the 1997 here. A whole burlap bag full of them. And then number three here, I have, how do we compare to surrounding communities, Crystal Lake, Fox River Grove, Lake in the Hills, Algonquin, and Cary, when it comes to TIF district usage? And then this was a photo that we used yesterday on the show. kind of shows the going trend from 23 to 25. How are the roads doing? And we'll take a look at that at the end. And then also, if you want to make the show more interesting, call in. I always thought it'd be, it is a unique thing to try to do this by yourself. But if you want to chime in, just call in. And I've been doing it for a while, but I'm writing a fine line here between, like, do I put time and energy into, like, making it entertaining and, like, having fun. I like to have fun and make it entertaining, but at the same time, there's a lot of stuff to go through and unpack. And that's what we're doing here. That's kind of the main goal here. Maybe on the back end, we can have some fun. And I look forward to that. This photo here, my mother got me into before I even opened the ice cream shop. I was always collecting Carrie memorabilia, and like just every so often hop on eBay, see what's going on in Carrie for historical stuff, and I'm kind of a history buff. My mom found these online and said, hey, use these on your podcast. And I was like, you got it. So here they are. This is a resort in on the Fox River near Cary, Illinois. I believe this is the one at the end of Pittner Road off of Hickory Nut. I believe they converted these. This was back in the mob days, people used to come down here and hide out. There's really only one way in, one way out on a gravel road. And it's all nice back there now. It's converted into apartments, and it's beautiful back there. But that's that right there. There was a matchbook also available on eBay. That's unincorporated Cary, down by the river, not in a van. And then this is the Fox River, or no, the Northwest Passage Restaurant Lounge. It says here, Northwest's newest and most unique supper club is located on Northwest Highway. And let me show you before I read that, I have a picture here. I'm going to show you. So where this is where the bank is now, the vacant bank. And that's that hot corner right there. And that's West Main by downtown. And where the bank is now on the left is where that restaurant used to be, along with the Ralph's service station, which we see in the intro with the horses. And then back to the picture here. I love older descriptions. It's like Elaine Bennis writing for a magazine. It's very elegant. Let me bring this to you. Northwest's newest and most unique supper club is located on Northwest Highway, Route 14, 45 miles northwest of Chicago's Loop. Chicago is open 7 days per week, or the club is open 7 days per week, and superb food and music may be enjoyed in the splendor of elegant surroundings. Electric decor, antiques galore, leaded glass, ornate 1800s bar, and many other indescribable artifacts. Items dating to early 1800s have been incorporated both in construction and decorating, with special emphasis on Chicago and Midwest artifacts. Examples are the stained glass windows, which have been converted to ceiling lights from a local church, which survived the Chicago fire in 1871, stained glass bronze scrolls and numerous wood carvings from St. Mary's Church in Chicago, built prior to 1870. Curved stained glass, a lot of stained glass here. Screen and cut glass windows from the Miller Estate. That's right there off East Main. And then stained glass from, more stained glass from Grand Central Station. A Victorian door front decorates the foyer, while Louis Chandler beckons those who enter and wish to pause for a moment for the circa 1850 Australian couch. Sit down. Look at the hand-carved menu and choose our specialties, prime rib or fresh whole catfish. Perhaps you would rather visit Northwest area's biggest and best salad bar. We feature the best of music for your listening and dancing pleasure, featuring nationally famous groups, Monday through Saturday. Monday nights featuring a jazz jam session by the pros. Whether you're liking it is superb dining, music for listening and dancing, or just socializing with fine drinks, you will find it all in a atmosphere that is pleasing, intimate, and unsurpassed in the area. That's Northwest Passage. I believe these guys owe me like 10 cents now for that spot. That's a live read. They don't make them like that anymore. We don't describe that. Maybe Carrie Derry needs like a long, intricate. Maybe get some stained glass. We don't do that anymore. And then I brought this up in a prior show about like our kids are growing up without inspiration now. And I touched on this briefly, like the around the clock sign in Crystal Lake. Like there's no way. I came to Carrie, and this is just an example. This is pretty much anywhere now. But like, hey, I wanna make a around the clock sign for the ice cream shop. And they'd laugh. And stuff larger than life like that, I think, is inspiring to kids. I don't know. I really don't think it's gaudy. I think it's cool how I still maintain it with the neon. I mean, that's not cheap. Neon is like an art form, and to be able to stay true to that is big. I think NBC, their marquee, they just changed that from neon in New York, neon to LED, and they received a whole bunch of backlash for that. I think the investment in how much it costs to burn the LED, the neon, is worth the people you draw in because of the fact that you have that. And we just need to get back to doing cool stuff. Going to the TIF districts, I was going to bring you this article here. Give me 1 second. So, TIF districts, TIF stands for Tax Increment Financing. And municipalities leverage them for, they can come in and I think the overall average lifespan of one in Illinois is 23 years. So it lasts quite a while. Yeah, 23 years is the lifespan of like the max. You can always come in and cut it short, which they've done if it's not performing or if you have other things you want to play with. To where you don't want to have too many on the books and you want to kick one off and bring another one on. And what it does is that you pretty much draw a... Say you have a map. Here's Route 14, and this is just for example. Say, like, these buildings are getting older. And what a village can do is literally draw a zone here and say, like, hey, we want to revitalize this area. And that gives powers to potentially eminent domain these properties, or usually it's not done like in a hostile environment, like hostily, hopefully most of the time. But that gives those powers, as well as whenever, like, say somebody comes in and says, okay, we're going to redevelop this property, and they build a nice brand new, whatever, five-story apartment building, for example. Those taxes that are generated in this whole district are frozen at the time of adopting that TIF district. So all tax revenues that would be going to 26, 155, I believe, Park District, and PD, I believe, are frozen at that point when they adopt the TIF district. So now you're taking away funds from schooling and other services, and what that those funds get frozen and used within this area to improve it until it's deemed satisfactory by the powers that be. So that's a TIF district in a nutshell. And we have had quite a few of them in the area, and they are quite invasive to the area, and they should be used with care. And I have this article here. I wanted to bring this to you. Cary residents and business owners showed up in numbers last week to express concerns about what the latest proposed tax increment financing district for the village could mean for their homes and organizations. When asked repeatedly, village board members held firm that there are no plans to tear down any homes or businesses. They said Cary's residents and business owners will have the choice in developer if a developer wants to come in and offer a price for their property. A TIF district is an economic development tool that freezes property taxes within the district boundaries at their current level for a set period, usually 23 years. As property values rise in the district, the additional revenue goes to a special village fund to pay for improvements within that area. The proposed district would stretch along, they're talking about TIF district number 3 here in this article, along Route 14 from the Fox River to Cary Algonquin Road. Cary Elementary School District 26 Superintendent Brandon White, he is the current superintendent, very active with the kids and the community, said that the district potentially could lose $8 million in tax revenue. I think that's a conservative estimate, personally, if the TIF district is created. Because remember, you're going over 23 years. As an educator for over 20 years, I've been driven, this is a quote from Brandon, as an educator for over 20 years, I've been driven by the moral purpose that if you make decisions based on the fundamental goal of doing what's best for kids, you cannot go wrong, White said. He said that the losses could be even more problematic if student enrollment increases due to TIF districts, which they want to, with this said TIF district, they want to sign on about 400 apartment slash townhomes. He's also quoted saying, even if it's half that, that's still impacting the education that we're able to provide our students. A District 26 board member said that the schools currently are in a stable financial situation, but the TIF could change that. Jason Jasnick said, quote, I worry about the loss of an estimated $8 million will push Cary schools back into those dark days, he said, referring to steep cuts the district faced in 2010. That means large classes, eliminating specials. We're going to look at that. Specials, large classes, which means your ratio between students and teacher are higher, and a revolving door for teachers. Others at the hearing expressed concerns about Cary losing its small-town feel. They said they don't want Cary to end up like larger Northwest suburbs, communities that use TIF districts to grow their downtowns. A quote from our mayor, we're not going to be Arlington Heights. We're not going to be Mount Prospect. Cary Mayor Mark Kaunick replied, we are going to be Cary and do what's right for Cary. They voted on that August 15th. They passed it through. And then I have a chart here of, it says below is a detailed timetable of all the TIF districts created in the Village of Cary, including their establishment dates and end dates, and some brief notes. So going, those dark days, the dark days that that article mentioned, we were under a TIF district. This is TIF District 1, also referred to as the Northwest Highway TIF District, from 1997 to 22. It covered land along Route 14 corridor between the Fox River and East Main Street, aimed to spur development in Eastern Gateway areas of Cary. Notable projects included redevelopment of the Miller's Hill subdivision, construction of a CVS pharmacy, reconstruction of Janus Cutoff Road, sidewalk improvements along 14, cleanup of the Selke property, which is where the Thorntons is now, and a regional lift station for future commercial development, which is for like a water handler. Assisted with over $2.3 million in improvements, ran for its full term of 23 years, expiring in 22. Says it might have closed in 21, likely due to fiscal reporting. Parcels from this TIF were later incorporated into TIF number 3, but then we had some overlap here. So you had 22, and then 2006 to 2003. If you look at, they were voting on this August 15th for TIF district number 3. But this TIF district ended in August 1st. So TIF district number 2, which had some overlap with 1, was created to support a proposed redevelopment project for properties fronting Route 14 in downtown Cary. It was hit by the 2008 economic recession, which stalled planned development. Property values declined below the initial base level, limiting its effectiveness. It was terminated early on August 1st, 23. Via an ordinance rather than running its full 23-year term. Parcels from this TIF were also incorporated into the Central Cary TIF District 3 after termination. So you're pulling in TIF 3 that we're about to look at. You're pulling from both of these. Some of them, some areas are made into TIF District 3, and it did not achieve its original redevelopment goals. And then TIF District 3, August 15th, 23 through present day. It currently has an ending of 2046. It covers the U.S. Route 14 corridor with the original 1893 corporate limits of Cary, bounded by Cary Algonquin Road, Silver Lake Road, Park Avenue, Pearl Street, East Main Street, Spring Beach Way, the Fox River, and Cary Road. Charlotte Place, Krenz Avenue, Norman Drive South. Incorporates parcels from the expired TIF 1 and TIF 2. Aims to implement the village's 2015 comprehensive plan, which we've looked at, and the 21 downtown Cary strategic plan. 43% of structures in the area are over 100 years old. targeting revitalization of aging infrastructure and economic growth. As of February 26, 25, it remains active. Both District 26 and the Cary Youth Baseball and Softball raised concerns about the TIF district. The Maplewood property received $5.5 million for their property, and that was associated with that TIF district. And I wanted to bring to you some like comparisons of how we stack up of TIF usage in the area. You have Crystal Lake. This is 1997. I pulled the same year that ours started. This is 1997 to present. Crystal Lake had four, and then there's three active of 20 of today, and then one was terminated. The one that was terminated was pre-1997 dissolved, and it was included in the four, I believe, because later in this article it says, I'll show you in a minute, the Fox River Grove had one, and there's currently one on the books. Lake in the Hills, two, with two current. Algonquin, two, with two still running. Cary had three, with one active TIF incorporating plots of land from the other two. And then there were two dissolved. In this conclusion that this report gave me, and this was from X.com, you can recreate this. What I typed in, if you want to recreate it, can you make me a timetable with detailed notes of every TIF district that the Village of Cary has created with and when it ended? And then for this one with the other ones, I just added the villages, the other towns. And then the conclusion for this report gave me, from 1997 to the present, Cary had the most TIF districts, three, reflecting its use, active use of this tool, though only one remains, which I was like, it said Crystal Lake had four, and it said Cary had three. It goes by total of time ran, I found out from this report. So Cary leads with the amount of time ran for a TIF district. And what does that do for the community that puts, when not used carefully and used with care, that can put a strain on the school districts, which is what Mr. White, the superintendent for District 26, expressed his concerns about, which I completely agree with. And then also... I've touched on this before. It's kind of using the, it's kind of forcing the subject. Instead of letting the invisible hand of commerce do its thing, you're kind of forcing it. And with the Cary one going dating back to 1997, I remember teachers picketing. I believe in 2002, and now we have like a retention issue currently, but you're starting to see the effects of that. You're starting to see, hey, PTO, we need some money for infrastructure that we should probably be maintaining at a school level, but PTO, you need to go out and raise funds for a playground. Like we saw at Three Oaks. Whereas I think PTO funds that are hard-earned PTO dollars from families and Dine and Share Nights and all that should be going to things that help teachers in the classroom, like parent-teacher. It shouldn't be going to infrastructure that those people that are raising those funds are not going to see that lifespan of the 20 years that that playground equipment is going to last. They should see that immediately affect the quality of learning and helping those teachers out with that money. So, and then also with the Cary Junior High, like we saw when the Cary Junior High opened, they had a wood shop. I have a lamp. I want to bring the lamp in. I made it in Cary Junior High, and they had a wood. They had woods. We made balsa race slot cars that we raced in the hallway. They had an art program that was more involved than it is now. They had computer automated design, like CNC designing, where we actually turned a chess piece in a CAD. What else do we have? We had drafting, to where you actually had a drafting table and like you had to set up the sheet. And I think all those things, those hands-on vocational things, turn into problem solving. Like, that doesn't mean that you have to, and that could be coming down from it could be a result of the TIF districts of reduction in funding, or it could be coming down from up high from where our Department of Education was tinkering around with what needs to be done at these grade levels, which we're seeing change now a little bit. But I think a combination of that, you can't really dispute the fact that we're like putting an unnecessary strain on our school districts. And then not to mention not playing nice in the sandbox for 13 years and leaving Maplewood property up in limbo to where the school district has no idea what to do with it because they don't know what the village is going to do. And they're pretty much just waiting for the village to get everything lined up with who they want to work with and the right time to slingshot these apartments, which all have all these apartment projects are scheduled to be launched pretty much next year. So all these things are waiting on the taxi runway to take off. And that's what I'm doing here, is just try to give everybody a voice. I see it on all sides of the spectrum, from, you know, I have skin in the game from wanting to see the school district succeed. If you live in Cary and you don't have kids and you're like, why is he always talking about school districts? I'm still the same way with property rights. I'm still the same way with business owners not getting chastised. And that's where I stand with that. Is and I've touched on this too, like the why, like why the growth. And you have it coming from the top down a little bit, saying you need to conform to all these, you need to have this type of housing and things like that. But if you're going along to get along with these agencies that are literally trying to dismantle your village, you're not necessarily doing best by the people who you represent in the village. You're slowly being conquered and you don't even know it. You're just following these and checking off these boxes. So I'm pro growth. I want to get families in here. I just want to do it to where they're not going to be sitting in a compound watching TV with a Wi-Fi router mounted above their head that they can't even control their own internet. Like, when you move into a place like some of these apartment buildings that I lived in, the Springs in Crystal Lake for a while behind Walmart, briefly, and the not only the construction is like paper thin walls and stuff, the people above us were just living their normal life and we could hear everything that they were doing. And I've touched on that before, along with the, you could see how long they intend to be investment properties for these folks, because I saw some indications of like how they mounted the air conditioner unit on the side. It was just gravel. And I'm like, that gravel is going to wash away and it's going to be tilted. It's going to cause issues and AC is not going to be level. And I'm like, they're planning on getting out of here before that issue becomes a problem for them. And it's going to be somebody else's problem. It's going to be our problem. Because, excuse me, because the management company and the ownership is going to lose interest in that property once the economy gets better and people want houses. So that's what I'm trying to kind of intersect, is get that conversation going to where we have the opportunity to be that village to where you can move to and get some equity in your pocket and have a house. Have you know, if you want to downsize, that's great. We'll have some apartments. You can downsize. But it's just, we don't need to sign on to the global agenda of you need to have 1,000 apartments in your community. And then this was a map that we saw from yesterday. I'll touch on it briefly again. So what's going on, like, when you have all these apartment projects, like if you work at the Village of Cary and you have 4 active apartment projects, you have 2 TIF districts active, you're tasked with a whole bunch of other things other than the road outside the front of your house. And it's starting to show here. This was from, this is a map from 2023, and this is a map from 2025. And it's kind of hard to see, but these are both maps and they're color-coded. But if you look here, the trending, these are failed roads. In 23, it was 0.2 roads that are considered to be failed. Not failing, failed. And then 25, that went up to 1% that have actually failed. Roads that are in serious condition, 1.6% in 23, and 25, 6% in serious, on their way to being failed. Very poor, 14% from 9% in 23. In 23, poor, 15.8%, poor, 18%, and so on. And this trend, I'm not a big, I see what could possibly be going on is that they're setting up, and I don't like to play games when it comes to like infrastructure. And I know there's a whole bunch of fancy footwork that can be done to justify, like if we show that these roads are getting out of control with serious and failing conditions, maybe we can qualify for some other funding or do something else in that arena. And that's not really fair to you. And like if we were just to scale back and take the blinders off of what we have been given from, you know, from the city, from the county, from the world, actually, like the WEF wants us to conform to. If we just take a step back and say, these TIF districts that have been implemented since 90. Actually, yeah, if you think about it, from 97. Said it ran its full term 23 years, 97 to 22. But then they signed on properties from TIF 1 into TIF 3. So now you've completely, you're looking at straining your school district and other services from 97, and you're not even staying within the context of the 23-year cap that's given. You've just doubled down on it, and you just kicked it out for another 23 years. So, yeah, I can see where Mr. White has had a little bit of frustration, and he was voicing it, and, you know, Kerry gave him a quick $5 million, completely taking away that piece of property that they had, to where they did make an effort to try to make it into where the scoreboard came from. They made an effort to try to make it into another school, make it into their bus lot, have an administration building, and keep some baseball fields. Everybody's happy. The school district's happy because now they have that land to play with that includes a school for all those 1,000 apartments of families coming into this area. But now what you have is the Village of Cary giving them $5.5 million, saying, this is where your bus lot's going to be, because we know best. It's going to be by Aldi, right by the railroad tracks. Aldi didn't like it, but that's okay. We'll pay the $50,000 to get out of that contract. And now District 26 is left with no property to have a school on. So they might have, if they want to expand, I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing trailers at one point down the road. You know, those temporary schooling trailers. I think it might get to a point to where you have such an influx of children and you have your nice brand new shiny bus lot and your class ratio gets so overwhelming between student and teacher that you're going to have to bring in some mobile school units. And then you know what the story is going to be? Shame on District 26. But don't pay attention to what the Village of Cary has put these guys through over the last 15 some odd years. The good news is that everybody's starting to look out their window. Everybody's starting to put the phone down, turn the TV off, talk with their neighbor, and start asking questions. And everybody's awakening, which is great. And that's why I bring this platform to you, to where you can call in, text. And do it at 9 o'clock every night. And I enjoy it. I wish, you know, I wasn't, like, it goes from family time to get the show ready to go on air to break it all down and then do it again the next day. And I wouldn't rather be anywhere else right now than to try to navigate this for my kids and my family and your family. But I can't do it alone. So if you have the means to talk with your neighbor and just start asking questions. And you know, we're all in this human experiment together. And these are good problems to be having, honestly. You know, compared to the other countries, these are good problems to be having. These are good discussions to be having. The fact that we get to have these disagreements are good. And it's good to disagree, and it's also good to let them know when they're doing good. But, you know, we're going to have to get involved if we're not going to be subject to the going trend of the carbon copy cookie cutter approach to how cities are going and villages are going all over the nation. So that's what I'm here for. I'm here for you. And that's all I have for you today. And let me know. We broadcast on X Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, and you can also, we have some folks that listen on their train ride to work on RSS download. So I appreciate, have a great day at work if you're going there. To you at home, thank you for joining me today, and I will see you tomorrow on Voices Carry Live. Have a wonderful evening.
You're confirmed at T-minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the sky.
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right. Your toys.